The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are in the Gospel of St. John, starting chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. If you remember the stories of the last chapters, the Jews started to feel bad towards Christ because, you know, he revealed himself as the Son of God, as the Messiah. He kept speaking about the kingdom of heaven, so he was not up to their dreams. They dreamt of being the kings in this world. They dreamt of pushing away the Romans and, you know, freeing their country from any other authority. So they always thought of a king like David. So they did not like the king of the Lord. So he stayed more time in Galilee, because in Galilee most of the people were very simple people, and they loved him, they loved the miracles, they followed the teaching. After this thing, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. But you know, we all know that he knew the hour of his redemption. So if he kept going to Judea, they will kill him earlier than the time he made. So he kept the teaching mostly in Galilee part. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing." The brothers here, you know, Christ had no brothers from St. Mary, but, you know, many of his cousins of the sister of St. Mary, they were considered brothers. And even the young men in Nasera and many of the villages of Galilee were considered like brothers because they brought up together. So because they couldn't believe in him as the Messiah, the Son of God, they wanted to make sure that the Judean Jews accepted him as the Messiah. So they were pushing him to go there in order to make sure whether he will be accepted or rejected, as they couldn't make it by themselves to look up to him as the King of Heaven. The Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing." Some people may say that they wanted to push him away from their villages because, you know, Herod at that time started to threaten him, and they did not want problems in their areas. So just saying, "Depart from us, go away to Judea," as if they are pushing the problem to Judea. "For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly." That's their logic. If you want to be well known, so it's, you know, it's not good for you to stay in Galilee. Just go to Judea, where the important people, where the rich Jews, where the Pharisee and the rulers of the synagogue. So you will be known there. "If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. By saying so, this means that the brothers of himself, the people of his family and his friends, they couldn't believe in him as the Son of God. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come." And when he speaks about the time or the hour, it's the time of crucifixion, the time of redemption. It's the time of salvation. It's the hour because of it he came and became a man. "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." Because they had seen many miracles, and they supposed they had to preach his name and to direct people to him, because they had seen many signs. "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me." So, because they were part of the villages and the community, the world will not reject you, but the world will hate me, hate the Lord, because the world is under the authority of devil. So Christ is not accepted by these people. So you go up to this fast, I'm not yet going up to this feast. So Christ said that you go to the feast, I will not go now. Because Christ did not want to, you know, everyone to see him, because at that time the Jew people started to make plans to kill him, especially if he comes with the crowd as usual. You go up to this feast, I'm not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. So he stayed in Galilee, which was not the custom of the Jew people. They used to go to the feasts in Judea, in Jerusalem, especially in the Feast of Tabernacles. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So he did not want to go with them. He wanted for them to go first, and then he followed them, and he went with his, you know, faithful followers, not in a crowd, but he went in a secret way, because he planned to make the sermon at special day in this feast. You know, the Feast of the Tabernacle is like 8 days, 7 days of making some rituals related to the history of being walking in the 40 years in Sinai under the supervision of Moses and staying with no shelters. So they celebrate this, and on the 8th day of the feast there were the biggest celebration. So he planned for this 8th day, the last day of the feast, he will show himself to everyone. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" Everyone were expecting him to be seen, and he did not show up at the early days. And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good. Others said, "No, on the contrary, he deceived the people." Even the people coming from Galilee and others from the Judea side, they, you know, were not on the same acceptance. Some of them believed that he is good, doing very good deeds, and his teaching were perfect. But others believed that no, he is deceiving the people, he is not a prophet. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews, because, you know, the Jew rulers were against the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone knew this. Nobody could speak openly about himself. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So he started like on the 4th day of the feast. So he went to the altar, to the temple, and started teaching as he used to do. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" You know, by knowing letters, it's not like just reading. But you know, how could this man know all the words or the verses written in the Old Testament, written in the prophecies? Because Christ kept telling the prophecies and the teachings of the holy books. So they say it this way, he knows the letters. So they did not mean that he is illiterate. No, he is like a real teacher. So from where he became that good in teaching? Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." So he revealed it, that his teaching, his doctrine, is totally given by God. And it's not man's made, man's doctrine. It's God's truth. So if anyone loves God and wants to know the truth, he will make sure that this is the words of God himself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. So this, you know, related to the teaching of the rulers, the Pharisee, the heads of the temple, because they were glorifying themselves. They speak out of themselves. They, you know, give sermons in their way. They are not teaching God's will. They are not teaching even God's commandments. They wanted people to follow them. They wanted the authority upon everyone. So he said it this way, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, because he speaks from himself, about himself, for himself. So the self here is the God of this one. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. So you can, you know, differentiate between the false prophet or the false teacher and the good teacher. The good teacher will follow God's will speak not of himself, but speaking God's words. And he will not, you know, be busy of how many people love him or follow him. He will be busy, you know, declaring the truth. Again, he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. He speaks about himself. Christ needed no glory from anyone. He spoke the righteous teaching. He spoke the truth. He spoke the word of God, because he is God. And he could see that many teachers were teaching their doctrine, their glory, and people loved them, looked up to them, because they did not want the real truth. Didn't Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? So it was the start of the confrontation, because he made it very clear, you wanted to kill me. And he was speaking in the temple itself, and many people were listening. And he said it this way, you are saying that you follow Moses. Actually, you do not follow Moses, because none of you keeps the law. So it was a condemnation. It was, you know, a big sentence said by Christ himself. You are not following Moses, or you are not keeping the law. And that was very important at that minute. The people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? So they started to lie, because they had their plans to get rid of him. But because he made it, you know, clear before the eyes of everyone that you are trying to kill me, they shouted back saying, you have a demon. No one wanted to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? So this means that the major problem for these people is that he broke the Sabbath law. Because remember the story of the paralyzed man, he cured him on the Sabbath day, and he ordered him to carry his bed and walk. And by doing this, it was a real problem for everyone. Who said it? Who pushed you to do this? He made it this way. The one who healed me ordered me to carry his bed, as if he will follow the one who healed him much more than following the law. So they started to put the accusation about Christ that he is breaking the law of the Sabbath, which is like the most important law for them. So he defended himself saying, Moses, the one who gave you the law of circumcision, and actually the circumcision started from Abraham, much earlier than Moses himself. But you yourself, following Moses, when it comes to the eighth day, the day of circumcision, if the eighth day is the Sabbath day, you broke the commandment, you broke the Sabbath day, because you circumcise children on the Sabbath day. So if you wanted to say that I broke the commandment of the Sabbath day, actually you do the same by circumcising many of the children on the eighth day when it comes to be on the Sabbath day. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work related to the healing of the paralyzed, but he made many miracles and also many miracles on the Sabbath day. You all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it's from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath day. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? So he is defending himself, saying, you are circumcising a man on the Sabbath. When I heal completely some man, a man on the Sabbath, now I'm doing bad. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? So the people knew that they were about to kill him. So when he stood courageously before everyone, defending himself and giving sermons on the temple and also defending what he had done on the Sabbath, people were astonished. Isn't he the one who everyone wanted to kill? But look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. So because they couldn't face him and there were no answer for his sermon, some of the simple people started to think, it seems like they believed in him. Look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly? So the people believed that maybe the rulers started to believe in him as the Messiah. They, being simple, they couldn't understand that the motive in the rulers are not about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all about themselves. So they never cared for him to be the Messiah, they cared only for their authority. However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. There were like a teaching say that Christ, when he comes, no one will know from where he comes. So that's the teaching they used to know. So they had this obstacle, this stumbling block in their mind that, but we know that this man is the Nazarite, is Jesus the carpenter, so we know his background. We don't believe that he is the Messiah. We will see what will be the answer of the Lord himself. Glory to God. Amen.